you, Jesus. He is a way maker, a miracle worker. Hallelujah. I love that term, miracle worker. It means that when there's no chances, he works a miracle. Hallelujah. As he said, that when it seems to be impossible, hallelujah, when it seems to be no way, he makes a way, hallelujah. He is a miracle worker and a way maker, and I'm so thankful for all that he's done in my life and all that he's doing in this church, hallelujah. It's exciting to see you all here tonight, and I am honored to be here. First off, I just want to say you can go ahead and be seated, hallelujah. We're going to just be a little bit different here tonight and not dive right into a specific scripture. But I do want to say how honored I am. I do not count it lightly. I know I may have the same last name as your pastor, but I do not count it a light thing or a small thing to be here. It is an honor to me, and I'm thankful for the opportunity. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful for all of you that have chosen to be here on a Wednesday night. And I know that church is usually Wednesday night. Maybe that plays a part in why you're here tonight, but I hope you can be here tomorrow night as well. And Friday, I believe the Lord's going to do a great thing. I'm so thankful for my beautiful wife being here with me tonight. Hallelujah. My stepson, Michael, with us. I'm thankful that God has put her in my life and that she's willing to come with me to these things. Hallelujah. All right. I am going to be honest with you here tonight and tell you that it's going to be a little bit different than what normal youth services might be. I have a unique opportunity in that I get to preach three nights in a row. So all the stuff that normal preachers have to fit into one service, I've got three nights to be able to do it. But it's going to be, I'm going to just be upfront with you here tonight. It's going to be a little bit different. You may not at any point feel like running the aisles, and that's okay. I'm okay with that. I'm expecting that. What I do want to do here tonight is to be real with you. I want to talk plainly and bluntly to you here tonight because I'm going to handle the young people in this room and anybody here the same way that I am as the youth pastor of Open Door Apostolic Church. I'm going to handle the youth here tonight the same way that I would handle our youth in our church. And that is basically, I'm going to treat you like I assume you're here because you want to be used by God. I'm going to assume tonight that you have a desire within you to be closer to God, to grow in God, to be used by God, not just to come and enjoy a service, but to come and participate and to be a part of what God is doing at Higher Purpose Pentecostal Church. I apologize right now for having my mind on this. My computer is completely broken down and not working, so I got it on my phone, so we're okay. But I'm going to treat you tonight like you're here because you want to be used by God. I'm not going to assume that you're far off somewhere needing to find the Lord. I'm going to assume you're here because you want something from God. You want to be used by God. You want to do something for God. You want that emptiness that you might be feeling in your heart to be removed as you find purpose in your life. And I'll tell you that it is found in ministry. And so for tonight and tomorrow night and Friday night, this is why I hope you can be here every night. We're going to be building something. We're going to be, one of my favorite things to do is preach and teach series. And I have that opportunity to do that here tonight, tomorrow, and Friday night. So I pray that you can be here and be with you. I don't know any of you here. I more than just mostly good to see you again. My friend Kavan, we go back a long ways, but other than him and my brother back there, I don't have a deep insight into most of your lives. And I'm happy about that because you can't get offended if I say something that might go against where you're at. Hallelujah. Because I don't know where you're at. I'm just going to preach what the Lord has told me to preach. I'll be honest and say that this word came to me months ago, and I've been trying to figure out a way to preach it, and it just hasn't opened up. That opportunity has not come. And as soon as I was asked to preach here these three nights, God began to work with me on this message that I believe he has laid into my heart. So as I assume you want to be used by God, as I assume you want to grow in God, assume that you want to do a work for the Lord, assume that you want God to move in your schools, and assume that you want to see revival in your church, if you are not in one of those categories, that's okay. You'll be able to join in at any time. Hallelujah. If you will grab hold of the next three nights, I believe you will be ready to be used by God in mighty ways. Now, it'll be up to your pastor before you get on the platform and do that. But I believe that through understanding the word and what it has to say to us, that you can be ready to be used by God before the end of this weekend. You can be ready to do a work for the Lord. You can be ready to pray somebody through to the Holy Ghost. You can be ready to pray for somebody and miracles happen. You can be ready to do a work for God. And it's not as hard as you think it might be. When we think of a minister, some in this room, when you think of the word minister, you may think of your pastor, and that is true. You may think of preachers, and that is true. But a minister is not only a preacher or a pastor. A minister is someone that is willing to serve in the kingdom. You are called to be a minister. You are called to a ministry. In this church, if you're part of this church, you're called to a ministry in this church. And I want to lay it all on the line right away and tell you, I may not know the ins and outs of your life, but I know and I have felt in the spirit that every single young person in this room, there is a call of God on your life. Maybe you'll never hold a mic. Maybe you'll never pastor a church. Maybe you will. But regardless of that, there is a calling on each and every single one of your lives. And I know that God's going to do something great in all of your lives if you allow him. So we're going to be talking about, as this theme that I appreciate, the mysteries of the kingdom. And as Brother Kevon presented, that there are no real mysteries of the kingdom. But oftentimes the mystery is just we're not opening our eyes to where the clue is at, where the answer is at. So we're going to be talking for the next three nights about the mysteries of ministry. It's not quite what you think it is. Hallelujah. All right, now we can stand. We're going to go to Proverbs chapter 3. Hallelujah. You know, I hear preachers all the time saying my computer just stopped working, and it's never happened to me until now. So I'm going through something new up here. Hallelujah. Pray for me. Proverbs chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 1 to 7. It says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tables of your heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. And this is my key scripture here tonight. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, consider him, think of him. Think of his word, acknowledge his word. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall, the King James Version says, he shall direct thy paths. A better translation would say that he straightens the path you're on. He makes the path you're on straighter and better and more fruitful. Then verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Hallelujah. I wonder if we could pray one more time and just invite. I think it is so important that we consciously say, God, I invite you to speak to my life tonight. I invite you to speak into my heart. I invite you to do something in my life. I invite you to do a work in me right now. Can we do that for just another moment? Oh, Jesus, I thank you for your spirit that is moving in this place. Lord, I thank you, God, for all that you've already done, all that you've already been working. Lord, I know you're already thick in in this place. You're already filling this room. And Jesus, I'm not up here, God, to make a move happen. I'm not here to make something happen. Lord, I'm just here to speak the words that you have given to me. And I pray, Lord, that our hearts and our minds would be open to what you want to say and what you want to do. Lord, I pray that our lives would be receptive of the word that you have for us. Let us decide in ourselves right now, I do want to be used by God. I do want to do something for God. I'm tired of spending my life in empty places. I want to do a work for you, Jesus. I want to be what you want me to be. I want to go where you want me to go. Lord, I invite you to speak into my life and give me direction of my heart. Oh, Jesus, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can go ahead and be seated. We will be revisiting that scripture a little bit later. But first, I want to tell you about a mighty man of God. Probably, in my opinion, one of the coolest guys in the Bible. His name was Elijah. And Elijah was a rebel. He was what we would call in my day a bad dude. He was tough. He stood up for his convictions. And he was not a rebel against the Lord. He was a rebel for the Lord. He stood up and did what was right when nobody else would. He stood strong and declared the word of the Lord, even though everybody else was giving in and bowing to the prophets, to the idols of Baal. He was a man of God. He stood up against political powers of the day that were leading people away from God. As the king and queen of that time were allowing and encouraging the worship of a, what I call, lowercase g god, Baal, and Elijah stood up in front of all of them and declared that he is the Lord. We find his story in 1 Kings. Some of the stuff that Elijah was able to accomplish with the help of the Lord. Elijah said that it won't rain for 3 years. And God said, he said it, so I'm going to do it. And God kept the rain back for 3 years. There was a drought in the land because Elijah said, you won't serve God, you won't give up this idol worship, so now God's going to keep rain from coming. And when people wouldn't choose between Baal or God, and that may sound like it's foreign to us, some God that people worship instead of the true God, but let me tell you, there are still a whole lot of people, maybe some in this room here tonight, that haven't been able to choose between Baal or God, that haven't been able to say, I'm not going to leave the church and go all the way into the world, but I'm not ready to go to the altar and give my life completely. There's this middle ground that we try to walk in sometimes. I've been there plenty of times myself where God was asking this and I wanted to do this, and instead of making a decision, I kind of just coasted for a while. And this is where the children of Israel were in this situation here. We can't come against them and think too little of them, because we've all been in that place ourselves. I need to get deeper in God. I need to do more for the Lord, but yet I can't stop doing this thing. I can't give up this thing. I can't walk away from this person that I know is leading me away from God. I can't stop doing this thing that I know isn't good for my relationship with God. And we get stuck in this middle ground. And I'm thankful for a man of God in my life multiple times that would stand and say, choose one. Stop standing halt between two opinions. If you find what you're looking for out in the world, then go out there and do it. If that's where you find yourself, then go out there and do it. Let me tell you, you never will. You can take that option, and I lay that out for you here tonight, and Pastor can correct me if he needs to. If you believe that you're going to find happiness out there, go for it. And you'll end up in the same place so many of us have, where we fall, come back to God and say, oh, what a stupid decision that was. I thought I would be happy out there. I thought because I could do whatever I want and I could say whatever I want and watch whatever I want and dress however I want, I thought I would find happiness. But there's a reason the children of Israel could not turn their back on God for completely. And there's a reason you in this room here tonight haven't been able to come to a place where you say, I don't ever need God, because you know that that's not true. You know that God, you felt something in the worship tonight. You felt something in the worship before. When you were struggling with something, you said a prayer and you felt God help you. You know that God is real and you can't quite turn your back on him, but yet there's still the draw of the world. And I'm thankful for a man of God like Elijah and like your pastor and like my pastor that would get up and say, this is the only real option. Either choose or be stuck forever. He is the true God. He saw it, said to those Israelites, listen, you double-minded wimps, stand for the truth. You know this God is real. You know the waters that he parted so we could come out of Egypt. You know the miracles that he's performed in your life. You know the prayers that he's answered in your life. You know the things that he's done for you. Stop standing in the middle saying, I'm not sure. I'm not ready. Maybe someday. No, today is the day. And Elijah was willing to stand up and say, it's time to choose. Oh, hallelujah. He said, if you find what you're looking for out there and it fulfills you, if Baal fulfills your needs and gives you everything that you need, then go for Baal. But if this God be God, if he be true, if he's ever done a work in your life, if he's ever moved in your heart, if he's ever touched your mind, if he's ever given you victory over a situation, if he is God, then let him be God and choose him. And Elijah said, we're going to have a match. We're going to have a showdown. Not between Elijah and Baal, but between Elijah's God and Baal. I love Elijah here. He seems to be fearless. He stands up in front of a group of those who can't choose and a group of nothing but Baal worshipers and said, let's have a challenge. If Baal is God, I'll serve him. If God is God, we're going to serve him. And so Elijah lays out the rules for this match. He says, you Baal worshipers, choose your altar, choose your sacrifice, prepare your sacrifice and lay it out on the altar. And then you pray to Baal to send fire down to consume the sacrifice. And if he does, we'll call Baal God. Then I'm going to have a chance. And I'm going to prepare my altar. And I'm going to lay out my sacrifice. And if my God answers, then that's our God. And you may know the story, you may not. But the Baal worshipers got their altar ready, laid out the sacrifice the best way they would have known how, and they began to cry out to Baal. Baal, send fire. Baal, do a work for us. Baal, move for us. Baal, come, show up for us right now. Show up right now in our time of need, Baal, and do a work for us. Move for us that we might know that you are our God. And when Baal did not respond, these Baal worshipers began to cut themselves to try to get on Baal's good side, to try to convince Baal to do a work for them. And can I tell you that there are so many young people all around us today, much like these Baal worshipers, looking to the world, There may be some here in this room, and you're saying to the world, you're saying to your social media, you're saying to your friend group, somebody move for me. Somebody help me. Somebody do something for me. Somebody show up for me. Somebody fill my heart. Somebody fix the things that are wrong in me. And what you have found and what I found is that no matter where I searched out there, nothing could fix what was going on in my life. And I don't say this lightly, and I don't say this as a joke, that there are young people cutting themselves, hurting themselves, crying out for something to help them, something to heal them, something to fix them. Even taking their own lives, looking for something to move for them. And Elijah, after hours of this, said, that's enough. I don't know if he did it just to stop what was happening or if he felt bad for them. I don't know. But he said, that's enough. It's my turn now. And Elijah didn't quite follow the rules, I'll tell you. But he didn't make it easier for his God. He made it a whole lot harder. He told the Baal worshipers, just prepare your altar, lay out your sacrifice, and then the God answers by fire is good. Elijah said, no, that's not good enough. I'm going to prove to you just how good God is. And he prepared the altar, and he laid out the sacrifice. And then in the middle of a 3-year drought, he demanded that they bring buckets of water up the mountain to pour onto this sacrifice. And they soaked the altar, soaked the sacrifice, dug a ditch around it and filled it full of water. And Elijah said, now they'll know it's not me. Now they'll know it's not coincidence. Now they'll know that if this happens, it is truly God. And Elijah prayed a very simple prayer. He, in so many words, said, God, that these people here might know that you are God, move right now. And fire fell from heaven and consumed the sacrifice. I'm just filling you in on how cool this guy Elijah was. Then he said, it's time for the drought to end. He went up to a mountain and began to pray, and he sent his servant out a couple times, and finally the servant comes back and says, I see a cloud the size of a man's fist. And Elijah stood up in faith and said, okay, rain's coming. This was the man that Elijah was. He was a mighty man of God, a powerful man of God. A man willing to stand up against all that would do wrong and stand for truth when nobody else would. But then it's also this mighty man of God that I think we see one of the realest depictions, other than maybe some of the Psalms, the realest depiction of what I would say, what we would call today, depression in the Bible. When Elijah heard that Jezebel had put out an order to have Elijah killed, he ran. This mighty man of God. He ran, and the scripture tells us that he refused to eat. He asked God, God, let me die. Just let me be killed. Let me die here. He went into this place where you see him up on the mountain, and I picture Elijah standing up on the mountain with his hands up in the air as fire falls down from the sky. But then just a few short scriptures later, we find him out in the wilderness wanting to die and refusing to eat. The mighty preachers that you see. This man of God that you have as a pastor. Let me tell you, and I don't believe he would have a problem with me telling you this, that they are not perfect. They have struggles. They have issues. Sometimes there's things that bring them low. And I don't say that to minimize what God is doing. It doesn't minimize what God did for Elijah. But I do believe that sometimes, young people, we've got this idea that before I can ever be used for God, I've got to get it all together. I've got to have it all right. I've got to stop making mistakes. I've got to stop messing up. I've got to get all my thoughts right and my mind right. I've got to be perfect before I can be used by God. Let me tell you, one of the coolest men of God in the Bible didn't have it all together.
and he struggled in his depression while being used by God. Your pastor is not perfect. Brother Kavan is not perfect. The great preachers of our day are not perfect. All that they are men and women that we're willing to say, I'm not perfect. I don't have it all together. I haven't got it all right yet. But Lord, I'm going to do what you tell me to do. I'm going to submit to your will. I'm going to submit to your word. And even when I'm hurting and struggling, God, I'm going to listen to you. Oh, Jesus. And Elijah followed God's command. He sent an angel to Elijah to try to feed him and lead him to the mountain. Even in Elijah's depression, even in that place where he was wanting to die, the thing that saved him was not a good altar call. That was not some powerful worship song that the band gets perfect. No, the thing that saved him was that he was willing to go where God told him to go, even though it was difficult and hard. And Elijah goes up to this mountain and God begins to speak to him in the fire and in the wind and in the earthquake and all of this powerful stuff that God does for Elijah. And even in that moment, Elijah still is having his little pity party and he says, I'm the only one living for you. I'm the only one serving you. And God says, no, you're not. Stop acting like that. I've got 7,000 others that have not bowed to Baal. It amazes me to see the fall of this man standing on the mountain with fire falling to now he's standing on this other mountain pitying himself, depressed, angry at what's going on. And it just shows me, it reminds me. I've been working in ministry for many years. And I will tell you, I don't claim to be anything special by any means whatsoever. I will tell you here tonight, I said, preachers and pastor, I want to put myself in there. I've made so many mistakes. There's not a single thing. I don't deserve to be up here. I've never done anything worth being up here in and of myself. And neither will you ever deserve to be used by God or deserve to do a work for the Lord. But that doesn't change God's opinion of you. That doesn't change the way God sees you. God knows exactly where you are, and he knows what mistakes you'll make in 10 years, but today he's calling you. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God tells Elijah, and he begins to prepare Elijah for moving on and passing on his mantle, his anointing. And reading the scripture, I think it's very likely I would have been a little offended when God says this. He says he sends up to two other men and says you're going to anoint them to be king. But then he says, and I'm sending you to Elisha that you would prepare him to fill your role. But what does Elijah do? He submits. And he says, okay. Next time we see Elijah and Elisha in 1 Kings chapter 19, we find Elijah coming to this man, Elisha. And I have to say, in this moment with Elijah being told to go and to pass his mantle, his anointing, on to the next man, I will tell you something that every young person needs to know and understand. We're not quite ready for that yet, but it doesn't matter. The one thing that your pastor, every other preacher right now, every other man and woman of God has in common with Elijah is that one day they will not be able to do what they're doing right now. One day every mighty man of God is going to preach his last message. One day, every mighty man or woman of God is going to pray for their last miracle to be happening. One day, every person that you've ever listened to preaching, one day that person will be sat down unable to do what they used to. And what I believe God wants every young person to understand in this place, God's not looking out there to send somebody here to fill the role for your pastor. God's looking for the young people in this room that can begin to fill the roles that the pastor fills, that the preachers fill, that the youth pastors fill, that the Sunday school teachers fill, that the youth leaders fill, that the offering, the ushers fill. God is looking for some young people that says, oh, Elijah, you're not done yet. Elijah still went on to minister for a while, but he said, I want you to begin looking for some young person that can begin to be trained in filling your spot. That's you. That's you here today. If you're not part of a ministry here, that's you. If you are part of a ministry, that's you. God has put you here today, not just so that you can do something today, but God wants to continue to train and to build and to grow in your life so that you can do what God wants you to do, not what you think you're able to do. Your pastor might have other things in common with Elijah, I don't know. But I do know he has in common with him that one day, somebody's going to have to fill the pastoral role here. Somebody's going to have to fill the preacher's roles here. And God's not always about outside hires. He likes to raise up from the inside. He likes to raise up young people that have sat under the pastor, that have heard the prophetic words of Elijah over the land and can say, I am willing to fill that role. So Elijah goes and finds Elisha. And when he finds Elisha, he finds him plowing a field with 12 yoke of oxen. And Elijah's so interesting because he walks up to Elisha, and it says that he put his mantle on Elisha. This was his prophetic mantle. This was the thing that he wore that everyone would know he's the prophet. Elijah comes, walks by Elisha, puts the mantle on him, and just keeps on walking. Doesn't stop. Doesn't begin to question Elisha and say, do you want to be used by God? He doesn't say, are you where you need to be? Are you doing all that you need to do? No, he comes and he puts his mantle on Elisha and walks away. Why did he do that? Because God told Elijah, I'm preparing Elisha. And so Elijah said, I'm going to handle this young man as what God said. God's calling him. God's doing a work in his life. If I know that God has called him, I don't need to check up on where he's at. I don't need to see if he wants to be used by God. I don't need to see if he wants to do something for God. I'm going to put my mantle on him. I'm going to preach calling to him. I'm going to preach to that young person that may not be wanting or ready to give their lives to the Lord. But I know that God has called you, young person. So here tonight, I come and I say, here's the message from the Lord. Here's the calling. He's calling you to work for him. He knew Elisha was called by God. And I know that you're called by God. And so that's why I handle it the way I do here tonight and with our youth. I don't claim. I get our young people to come up and teach five-minute lessons and preach a 15-minute message at our youth week. I don't claim to believe that they've got it all together. In fact, I know some of them are struggling with things. I don't claim to believe they've got it all right and they know the ins and outs. But I'm not interested so much in that. I'm going to help them when they need my help. I'm going to encourage them when they need encouragement. But my job is to say, God's called you, young man. God's called you, young lady. God's got a work for you to do. Start doing it. Start getting involved. And I love Elisha when he receives the mantle. Understand that this mantle, as I said, was the, the descriptor that showed that this was the prophet. By that, Elisha could have gotten that mantle, walked into the king's gate, and began to try to preach to the king because he had the mantle of the prophet on him. But that's not what Elisha does. Because ministry is not about platform. It's not about having a microphone in your hand. Ministry is not about having the biggest name and everybody knows you because you preach some conference. That's not what ministry is all about. That's part of ministry, but that's not what ministry is all about. Elisha could have stood and said, I've got the mantle of the prophet. Get out of my way and let me do what I think I need to do. Get out of my way and let me begin to minister and to prophesy and to preach. But that's not what Elisha does. If we could put up 1 Kings 19:20. After Elijah put the mantle on Elisha, it says Elisha left the oxen, ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. You might not have caught it, and it took me a while to catch it. Elisha didn't run to Elijah and said, hey, let's talk about this and see if this is the best fit for me. Elisha didn't run up and say, hey, I agree with some of the things you're saying, but I don't know about this and that. Elisha didn't run up and say, I appreciate the mantle, but I'm going to do things my own way. I'm going to kind of handle things my own way, and I'm going to kind of interpret things my own way. No, what does Elisha do with the mantle of the prophet, the calling to preach, the calling to minister? He runs to the man of God and submits to the man of God. He runs to Elijah and says, can I do this? And then I will follow you. Elisha could have taken the mantle and gone wherever, but Elisha said, I'm going to submit to the man of God that has called me, the man of God that has preached and spoken to my life, the man of God that has prayed over me. I'm going to submit to that man of God before I ever try to step out and do my own thing. Elisha made up in his mind that he was going to agree with the man of God. That is submission. He said, I submit to you. And this is what I want. He said, this is what I want to do. I want to submit to you. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to learn to you, from you, because I am submitted to you. And I figured there'd be a drop off here. That's okay. Because to the world, submission, that's an ugly word. To submit is weak. To submit, I don't want to do that. I'm too good. I'm too big. I'm too cool. I'm too smart. I know better. I don't need to submit to anything. That word submit comes from submission, meaning that your mission is higher than my mission. What God is doing in your life, I'm submitting myself to you, because what you are doing, what God is doing in your life, is higher than where I am at, and I'm going to submit to you, man of God, so that you can train me and teach me. Now, it's not just about submitting to your pastor or your youth pastor. Can I tell you, the Bible's very clear, young people, that you are supposed to submit to your parents, to your pastor, to your youth pastor, and to the word of God. And I know that's ugly. You're telling me I have to not do what I think is best and do what somebody else thinks is best. I'm not telling you that. The word of God tells us that. The word of God tells you that you don't know it all yet, and that's okay. You don't have it all together yet, and that's okay. This man right here doesn't have it all together yet, but you better believe he's submitted to some men of God as well. Because every submitted minister of the Lord is willing to keep growing and to keep learning. Can I tell you, even Jesus had to learn to submit. In the Garden of Gethsemane, where the flesh of Jesus is thinking about what's going to happen in the next few hours, thinking about the beatings and the mocking and the cross and the crown of thorns. His flesh did not want to go to the cross, but Jesus in that Garden of Gethsemane, as his flesh battled with the Spirit, as droplets of blood was coming out of his sweat, he said, "Not my will, Lord. Not my will, Father. Not what I want, but what you want. You are not weak because you submit to your parents. You are not weak because you submit to your pastor. You are not weak because you submit to the Word of God." I pray, son, I believe God's speaking to somebody right now. You've been struggling with submission. You've been struggling. I like this church, but I just don't know if I agree with all the things the pastor says. Well, you submit to the pastor, and you let God deal with the pastor. You let God handle what the pastor's talking about, what he's preaching, and what he's teaching. Your job is to say, "Man of God, what would you have me to do?" Oh, Jesus, you are not weak because you submit. You are putting yourself in the line that the power flows through. When it comes to church ministry and church leadership, God pours himself out on the pastor, and through the pastor, the power of God flows to all that are willing to be under the pastor. Young person, I pray that you hear me tonight. Your submission to the pastor, your submission to your youth pastor, it absolutely plays a part in what the ministry that God will be able to use you in, because if you can't submit to the man of God now, you're not going to submit to God himself later. If you can't submit to the man of God when he says something you don't like, you're not going to submit to the Word of God when it says something you don't like. If you can't get submission now, you'll never be able to be victorious in the battles that you fight in. The power of God flows through the pastor into all that are submitted to him. You want to be a mighty person of the Lord? You want to be a man of God? You want to be a woman of God? Get submitted to the man that God has put in your life. We read in Proverbs chapter 3, as we read in chapter 3, verse 1, starting at verse 5, he says, "Oh, hallelujah. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." Sometimes we think of this scripture like, that's so nice. God's going to do something great. I don't see what it is yet, but God's going to do something great. And that's true, but that's not what this scripture is saying. This is not the same context as we walk by faith and not by sight. That's not what the scripture is saying here. The scripture is saying, trust in what the Lord tells you. And don't do what you think is best. That's what it's saying. Submit to the Word of God and don't do what you think you need to do to be happy. Submit to the will of God and don't do what you think you need to do to get a better ministry or a bigger microphone, a higher name, a higher place for your name. Don't do what you think is best. Lean on the Lord. Lean on the man of God that he's put in your life. And let God do the elevating. Let God do the sorting. Let God do the working. Stop trying to make yourself happy and submit to the Word of God and find out that that's where the answer was all along. Stop trying to do things to make yourself better. Submit to the man of God and watch God lift your ministry up. Watch God lift your calling up. Submit to your parents and stop doing things just because you think they don't understand. Maybe they don't understand, but you're still blessed if you submit. Submission is blessing. We are blessed when we submit to the Word of God, to the man of God. And when the Word says to submit to our parents, we are blessed when we do so. No, your parents did not send me here tonight to preach this to you. And I'm not preaching to anybody because I know you're not listening to your parents. I don't know any of that. All I know is that my life was blessed when I learned how to submit to the man of God in my life. When I learned how to submit to my parents, when I learned how to submit to the Word of God, I haven't always been perfect, but I pray every day, Lord, help me to be what you want me to be. Help me to be faithful to my pastor. Help me to lift up my pastor. Help me, Lord, to be a blessing to my pastor. Oh, and a little spoiler. Elisha was not made weak because he submitted to Elijah. Elisha will go on to do exactly double the miracles that Elijah ever did. And I believe Elisha's response in the next two nights, we're going to talk about the rest of his response to this calling. I believe Elisha's response to that mantle was the reason he was put in the place that he could be used so mightily. Because when he received the anointing, when he received the mantle, when he received the calling, when he felt that tug on his heart to go do something for God, and he submitted to the man of God, and by doing so, he submitted to God himself, God raised up Elisha's ministry, and God made it greater than Elijah's ever was. Let's go ahead and stand. I know this is, like I said, I know this is very different. And I'll give you, I'm not going to tell you nothing else about tomorrow. I know this is a little bit different, and I know it might be a little hard to hear depending on where you are. Can I tell you, young person, can I tell you that submission is the most difficult battle you will ever face? The hardest battle you will ever face is the battle for submission. It's true. The greatest battle you will ever face. Sin can't stand up against the Holy Ghost. The power of sin has no power over us when we're filled with the Holy Ghost and we're walking in the Spirit. And if you haven't been filled with the Holy Ghost, you can absolutely be filled with the Holy Ghost here tonight. Because not because of who I am, but because the Spirit of the Lord is moving in this place. And he will give you power over sin. He will give you power over the issues that you can't seem to control. But the one thing God cannot force you to do, cannot give you power enough to do it, is to submit. That's completely on you. And it is a difficult battle for some. It was a difficult battle for me, and it still is. I still am learning to submit to the Word of God and to the man of God, because your flesh wants to do its own thing. Your flesh wants to be right. Your flesh wants to prove it's right. Your flesh just wants to feel good and do whatever you want. But let me tell you, young person, if God be God, then serve him. If you've ever felt his Spirit move, and if you've ever felt that emotional wave come over you as you listened to worship music or as you read your Bible, maybe prayed in your bedroom, if God has ever moved upon you, then let him be God of your life and choose tonight to say, not my will, but your will. Not what I think is best. I know your pastor doesn't expect it, and I don't expect you to, but maybe somebody in this room needs to say, God, I'm sorry for the way I've thought about my pastor. I'm sorry for the way I've handled my pastor. Young people, maybe you need to say, God, I'm sorry for the way I've handled my youth pastor. I'm not trying to harp on anybody here tonight. I'm not trying to just get on your nerves. I'm trying to teach you the beginning of ministry is submission. The beginning of a move of God in your life is submission to his will. And if you can conquer the battle for submission, you will overcome every other issue that ever comes your way, because you've put yourself in God's hands. You've laid your life down in the Lord's hands, and you've trusted in the Lord and not done what you thought was best. And now God, as Paul says in Romans 8, can make something beautiful out of the bad that you've been going through. Can make something good out of the issues in your life. When we are submitted to the Word of God and submitted to the will of God, submitted to the man of God, there is nothing in your life that God can't use for His glory and use to bless you and use to elevate your ministry. So here tonight, I know it might be a little bit different, but I wonder if we could all come down to this altar. Let's all come so that the ones that know they need to come don't feel bad for coming. Let's all come down to the altar. And let's say, God, I've